You know, we, by design, have programming on this program that brings smiles to our faces as we laugh about this. We have lighthearted conversations about, you know, some great matters, but lighthearted. We have other discussions that really challenge us to think through some situations because, hey, in the real world, it really is about humor and it is about that which is serious. We try not to have it, you know, one-sided where there's too much of either. We can't just ignore the serious matters that impact how we live. But why do we have to deal with the heavy stuff all the time? I mean, I bring you all on here and you all help solve the world's problems. I can't have you doing that all the time. So while I do appreciate you solving the world's problems, I definitely like it when you're bringing some laughter and humor to the table, too. It takes all of that to make the world go round. So, having said that, let's plan to meet tomorrow and discuss some race relations, but also talk about ways that we can build our own self-esteem in positive ways. Saturday, one of the discussions will include a conversation that I had previously with Regina Griggs, who talked with me about how it impacted the family when one of her sons revealed that he's a homosexual. Christian family with a son who has decided to be a homosexual. I want to run this on the weekend for the benefit of the many, many people who are not able to be with us during the week. I've had a number of people to tell me that too, that it's very, very difficult for them to listen in during the week. So every now and then I kind of flip things. Something that I may have aired during the week, I'll air on the weekend. And because I know that there are times when people are not able to hear what's aired during the weekend, especially on Sundays when a lot of people are in worship services, I'll occasionally take something that aired during the weekend and air it during the week. So my conversation with Regina Griggs was held one day during the week some time ago. And so I'm going to air that conversation. I'll rebroadcast that this Saturday. We'll talk some more about why we love on Sunday. And we'll take a look at Israel, the nation, the country, the land, Israel, and religion. That also will be this Sunday. So I definitely want you to listen in as much as you can. 1550 AM, The Voice. All right. So we're taking a look at what cities can do to help make, and I guess I should say our city leaders can do, to help make our country cleaner, safer, to make the people of our nation healthier. Talking about these, the way it's just a win-win, the land and the water benefit, the air benefits, so we benefit. In 2015, Los Angeles got 20% of its electricity from renewable energy sources, according to data that was sent to Think Progress. Nuclear and large-scale hydro together accounted for another 11%. But more than 60% of the city's electricity came from coal and natural gas. Coal still accounts for 40% of the city's power supply. Natural gas, including from four local plants, was 22%. There's a lot of support right now in Los Angeles for changing the way that Angelenos get their electricity. Over the winter, an uncontrolled natural gas leak in northern Los Angeles caused thousands of families to be evacuated from their homes. You know, we really do need to consider all the advantages and disadvantages of these various ways of providing our electricity. Natural gas has been very, very helpful to us in a number of ways, but let's not overlook the risks involved, including the problems that go along with fracking. Uncontrolled natural gas leak caused thousands of families to be evacuated, and people complained of bloody noses, headaches, and other health problems, while Southern California Gas Company struggled for months to contain the Aliso Canyon facility. Subsequently, the company said the region would face potential blackouts this summer without Aliso Canyon, which provides gas to some local power plants. That infuriated a lot of people in that area who insist that the city can go green and avoid reopening the storage facility. Alexandra Nagy, who's a senior organizer with Food and Water Watch, said that that blowout really highlights that this is just one incident and a larger ongoing disaster. So they're advocating for the permanent closure of the canyon and says that there's really no other option. I tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, we have a lot of reasons right in front of us that make it so clear that we may need to continue our move, our march towards clean energy, renewable energy, and not spend so much time and energy fighting against that which is truly for our good. What do you think? Healthier water, healthy air, healthy land, healthy people. We push for that. Would that possibly be another great way to let some of life's best moments come through each of us? Till next time.